This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this hour, a bunch of stories that I've put together for you. I'm going to remind you that Intelligent Medicine means the best of high-tech medicine and the best of natural therapies. We put those together for you each weekend in, hopefully, an enjoyable and understandable form. And we got some interesting stories to tackle. We're going to talk about the benefits of green tea. We also have a story on vitamin and mineral patches. You know, I was at a party the other day, and I met a guy, and he's an entrepreneur, and he has a big investment in a company that makes vitamin and mineral patches. And he asked me my opinion of them. I'll share that with you in just a few moments. All right. So there's been an argument that's been brewing for as long as I've been in the field of integrative medicine about milk and dairy products. Is milk really a natural? And a lot of people would argue that it's really not, because what adult mammal species consumes milk? You know, maybe your cat drinks some milk when you put your when you put a bowl of milk out for your kitty, but most mammals suckle on milk. Yeah, it's a source of sustenance when they're babies, but then they wean. And at the time of weaning, they don't get any more milk because the only source of milk is mommy, right? And, you know, it's not like primitive man a million years ago would chase down a mastodon. They would gang tackle it. And if it was a female, they would then suckle from the udder of the mastodon. I've never tasted mastodon milk personally. It might be a little unpalatable, but you get the idea. But then, it is estimated to have been around 3,000 years ago that humans, who ordinarily become lactose intolerant after they complete their breastfeeding, that they developed a gene. And this is kind of survival of the fittest, natural selection, a gene which enabled them to consume the milk from domesticated animals. And that's how animal husbandry began thousands and thousands of years ago. And this is actually a gene that some people have and some people don't. And that's why a lot of people are lactose intolerant. They don't have ancestors who evolved to handle milk. So milk is not really a natural, but for some people it is, because it's been in their culture for centuries and millennia, and they have the ability as adults to digest milk. One of the interesting things about our current dietary guidelines, which are really controversial, there's a lot of pushback against the dietary guidelines, because the dietary guidelines predominantly tell us to avoid fat, have a lot of whole grains. And that proposition is pretty controversial, especially in view of the benefits of low-carb dieting, which are well known. But under our current dietary guidelines, which are promulgated by the USDA, Department of Agriculture, they encourage all Americans over the age of 9 to consume, get this, at least 3 8-ounce servings, that's one cup, and they specify, of non-fat or low-fat dairy. It can't be full fat, for milk, yogurt, cheese, etc. per day. And the chief rationale for that is that this will supply the requisite amount of calcium to forestall osteoporotic bone fractures. But there's kind of a conflict of interest in the USDA, because the USDA, on the one hand, is designed to fulfill the nutritional requirements of Americans, make them healthier. But it's also, in effect, a group that furthers agriculture in America. So they're sort of equal opportunity encouragers of all forms of agriculture in America. And so they're not going to say, let's ban meat. They're not going to say, let's ban dairy. The USDA says, hey, you know, have a little bit of everything, because, you know, saying otherwise would inhibit commerce in the United States. So in spite of the fact that they consume at least three 8-ounce servings of non-fat or low-fat dairy from various sources, surveys reveal that on average, Americans consume far less. That's 1.6 servings per day. So is this a problem? Americans are not consuming enough dairy. In fact, Americans are consuming less dairy than in past generations. And in fact, dairy farms are having trouble staying in business. There's a lot of competition from soy milk, macadamia milk, almond milk, rice milk, all kinds of milk substitutes, as if these were somehow better than milk, or perhaps better for the environment. Although that's questionable, because when you grow almonds, it requires a lot of water, a lot of resources. I'm not sure we're saving the environment by consuming vegetarian milks. But so the question is milk really a natural? And that's the question that authors of a recent article in the New England Journal of Medicine tackle. There's a comprehensive review in it, very detailed, co-written by Walter Willett and David Ludwig. Now, Walter Willett is a really top guy there. He's, you know, perhaps the foremost nutrition expert at Harvard. And he's a guy who pointed out the hazards of trans fat, so we owe him a debt of gratitude. But he's also a plant-based diet guy, and so he might have a built-in bias against dairy. And in fact, he spearheaded the Eat Lancet report, which I've criticized in the past, because kind of conflates environmental goals with health needs of humans. But putting that aside, David Ludwig is his co-author on this, and he's actually a low-carb guy. So this kind of balance. The thrust of their argument is that dairy for adults is overrated and may indeed have drawbacks. They contend that current government recommendations lack a firm scientific basis. And I'm quoting here from the article in the New England Journal of Medicine. You can go read it in its entirety. It's kind of detailed. They point out that to increase milk production, cows have been bred to produce higher levels of insulin-like growth factor, IGF-1, and they're pregnant for most of the time that they're milked, which greatly increases levels of progesterone, estrogen, and other hormones in milk. So this raises a question of whether dairy contributes to the risk of certain hormone-dependent cancers. And indeed, some studies suggest that milk is associated with a higher milk consumption, dairy consumption associated with a higher risk of breast cancer. Not really a leap of faith to believe that a secretion of the breast of an animal when consumed by a human might have deleterious effects on human breasts and also prostates. And as to osteoporosis prevention, they say in the article, and I'm quoting, paradoxically, countries with the highest intakes of milk and calcium tend to have the highest rates of hip fractures. And with regard to the messaging about the vaunted superiority of low-fat dairy, where you have to avoid the fat because the fat's bad for your heart or makes you gain weight, They note that in three cohorts of young children, consumption of full fat or 2% fat milk was associated with lower BMI or lower risk of obesity than was consumption of low fat or skim milk. So full fat or, you know, partial fat milk, better in terms of obesity when it comes to kids. And when it comes to cardiovascular disease, they write, neither whole milk nor low fat milk has been associated with the incidence of or mortality associated with coronary heart disease or stroke. So, that's a real cast some doubt on whether milk really is a natural or necessary. But also, they mention that milk may be laden with antibiotic, pesticide, and herbicide residues. And that's problematic, too. And the bovine growth hormone that they use deliberately introduce into some cows, that could be problematic. And I believe in the precautionary principle, because if you consume dairy, you should really choose organic products that are not laced with these additives. They don't even mention the fact that there's a lot of milk allergy, milk intolerance, and also its potential in triggering migraines, gastrointestinal problems, chronic sinus and lung conditions. I know many patients, I've told them, get off dairy, and their sinus conditions get better, their asthma gets better, their migraines get better. This is concerning. The bottom line, they conclude, I'm quoting, in our opinion, the current recommendation to greatly increase consumption of dairy foods to three or more servings per day does not appear to be justified. Okay, we'll share more health stories with you in just a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Decades ago, Dr. O'Hara developed a formula for optimal human health, a blend of superfoods and live bacteria, naturally fermented for 3 years, encapsulated to deliver prebiotics, probiotics, and most importantly, postbiotics to your digestive system, aiding digestion, increasing absorption of essential nutrients, supporting the immune system, and unleashing the healthier, happier you. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, 100% vegetarian, non-GMO, free of artificial additives, chemicals, preservatives, or colorings, dairy and gluten-free. Dr. O'Hara himself proclaimed in 1974, each capsule of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is filled with our passion and hope for bringing health and long life to all 7 billion people on Earth. And today, his legacy lives on, making Dr. O'Hara's probiotics a world leader in superior probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, available online and at natural health retailers nationwide.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's some more health stories for you. Tea consumption and the risk of stroke in Chinese adults. Is tea really protective against this type of problem? A big study. They looked at nearly 500,000 participants in China. It's not hard to enlist enormous numbers of people for studies. 487,000 people. They followed them up, and there are a large number of strokes among these people because there was a large number of people. 38,727 strokes. And they also did a diet history with them. They found that 26.3% of the people surveyed reported drinking tea almost daily, predominantly green tea. Here's what they found. Tea consumption had an inverse and dose response relation with the risk of stroke. So the more tea, the less stroke, and it was in a dose response relationship, which means, yeah, really maybe something to it. Among those who consumed tea daily, the risk for stroke decreased with the increasing duration and amount of tea consumed. So what they conclude is that among Chinese adults, higher consumption of tea, especially green tea, was associated with a lower risk of ischemic and hemorrhagic stroke. I don't know if the study's been done with green tea extract capsules. I don't drink a lot of green tea. Occasionally I do. I say, I feel like a cup of green tea, but that's, a couple of times a week. I'm more of a decaf coffee guzzler, but I do take green tea capsules on a daily basis to give me the benefits of EGCG from tea. All right. Talking about green tea. Drinking tea improves brain health. This is a different study. National University of Singapore. A recent study led by researchers in Singapore revealed that regular tea drinkers have better organized brain regions. And this is associated with healthy cognitive function compared to non-tea drinkers. This is based on neuroimaging. So, smaller study, just 36 adults, but they had to neuroimage all of them, which is expensive and time-consuming. The researchers found that individuals who consumed either green tea, oolong tea, or black tea at least four times a week for about 25 years had brain regions that were interconnected in a more efficient way. That's pretty cool because if you take the analogy of road traffic, you definitely want your brain regions to be better connected because when the roads are clear and there's superhighways joining destinations, the movement of vehicles is improved and the same thing happens in the human brain. So one of the researchers comments, we have shown in our previous studies that tea drinkers had better cognitive function as compared to non-tea drinkers. So very cool. This item, I mentioned vitamin mineral patches. Well, one instance where people really have a lot of deficiencies is after bariatric surgery. Bariatric surgery reroutes the intestinal tract. It actually deliberately causes malabsorption, so you lose weight. And that's the basis of how they work. So are vitamin mineral patches effective after bariatric surgery? What they did is they assessed whether that was the case. And they found that it was kind of implausible. Known nutrients that can't be absorbed through the skin are vitamins A, K, and B12. And vitamin B12 is one of the most commonly reported nutrient deficiencies after bariatric surgery. They say that it really hasn't been properly studied. Yet startups are appearing that offer transdermal vitamin and mineral patches. And I talked to a guy at a party the other day who's invested heavily in one of these companies, and I kind of expressed some skepticism as to whether that could really work. I count me as coming from the show me state. I'm kind of skeptical. I'm from Missouri on vitamin and mineral patches for vitamin delivery. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. That's drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements. Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And some interesting stories I have to share with you. This is, I would consider, the duh story of the month, if not of the year. Potentially of the decade. It comes to us from a review article in Current Treatment Options in Gastroenterology, which is a medical journal I don't ordinarily read, but, you know, it's a legit medical journal. Headline, processed foods highly correlated with obesity epidemic in the U.S. What do you know? But it bears repeating because... this is an important theme. And, you know, it kind of falls under the category of tobacco litigation because, you know, it took a long time to demonstrate that tobacco was something that killed people or at the very least made them very sick. And there are a lot of denials about this. There's a lot of pushback from the industry, a lot of delaying tactics. It finally was conclusively proven that tobacco gave you cancer, cardiovascular disease, all manner of health problems, strokes, brain disease, hypertension, you name it. And now tobacco makers have to disclose that. And a lot fewer Americans are smoking. Those who do are slowly committing suicide. But hey, who said that people are rational? When it comes to food, it's a little different because you don't need to smoke to survive, but you do need to eat. And so we now have more and more evidence that the food we eat is making us sick and killing us. But here's what they say in the article, and I'm quoting from one of the co-authors of the article. When comparing the U.S. diet to the diet of those who live in, quote, blue zones, areas with populations living to age 100 without chronic disease, the differences are stark. They further say, quote, many of the food trends we reviewed are tied directly to a fast-paced U.S. lifestyle that contributes to the obesity epidemic we are now facing. Foods most associated with weight gain include potato chips, sugar-sweetened beverages, sweets and desserts, refined grains, red meats and processed meats. See, there, I take umbrage with that because actually a more careful analysis of this recently exonerated red meat and even processed meat. And they didn't even talk about grass-fed meat. They just looked at meats as a, you know, mixed category. But they say that lower weight gain or even weight loss associated with whole grains, fruits, and vegetables. Well, it depends on what you term whole grains because whole grain Cheerios, you have a lot of that with skim milk, and you could still not lose weight, in fact, gain weight. Other food trends outlined in the report include insufficient dietary fiber and a dramatic increase in food additives like emulsifiers and gums and a higher prevalence of obesity, particularly in women. They point to the fact, and this is from a gastroenterology journal, emulsifiers found in processed foods have been found to alter microbiome compositions. Wow. They can also elevate fasting blood glucose, cause hyperphagia. That's a fancy word for make you want to eat on a, like a house on fire. Hyperphagia, increasing your appetite, thus leading to increased weight gain and adiposity and even fatty liver disease, which is rampant in this country. You know, it's, figure it's a gastroenterology journal, and they talk about liver disease because liver is part of the gastrointestinal tract. They see the recent human trials have linked ultra-processed foods to decreased satiety. Yeah, you can, you know, how quickly can you inhale a Big Mac? Real fast, right? It's very palatable, no fiber. You've consumed it. In contrast, populations with low meat, high fiber, and minimally processed foods in the blue zones have far less chronic disease, obesity rates, and live longer disease-free. Yeah, I'm going to say that in some of these blue zones, they actually consume a moderate amount of animal protein. It's not like an animal protein-free diet. The researchers conclude by saying rather than solely treating the symptoms of obesity and related diseases with medication, we need to include efforts to use food as medicine. Duh. Chronic disease in later years is not predestined, but heavily influenced by lifestyle and diet. Decreasing obesity and chronic disease in the U.S. will require limiting processed foods and increasing intake of whole vegetables, legumes, nuts, fruits, and water. Water as opposed to all the high-calorie beverages, flavored beverages that a lot of people think are the way that they should hydrate. You know, with energy drinks and soft drinks that are laced with calories. Healthcare providers must also emphasize lifestyle medicine, moving beyond a pill for an ill. All right. So that's what they're saying in current treatment options in gastroenterology. And we say amen to that particular viewpoint. All right. If you're suffering from frequent fatigue, and who isn't from time to time? Here's the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. You've heard me talk about it. It's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. NT Factor works on the mitochondria. They're the key to energy production in your cells. And because it works on the mitochondria, clinical trials have shown that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half. NT Factor is available in ProPacks. That's your one-stop shop for all your vitamin and mineral needs. But say you want to keep your favorite multi and yet still harness the power of NT Factor. Well, there's Healthy Aging. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking, providing you with unique energy support, a pure NT Factor and a potent delivery system. I've been taking NT Factor for years myself. I don't go a day without it. And now with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So please note that even though they're no longer shipped to Vitamin Shop, you can still find ProPacks and Healthy Aging at your favorite health food store or online retailer, or to order direct, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. And they got a great new website. So newly designed. And so you can find out more at ntfactor.com. All right. This item takes a look at the nuts that are beneficial for you. And it's kind of a comparative study because they wanted to see which nuts. We know that nuts are healthy. Recent evidence has confirmed that nuts are one of the best food groups, helpful for reducing LDL cholesterol and total cholesterol. But they wanted to compare the effects of different types of nuts on your cholesterol panel and your blood lipids. So they looked at a variety of nuts, walnut-enriched diets, pistachio-enriched diets, hazelnut-enriched diets, cashew-enriched diets, almond-enriched diets, looking at the impact of various nuts on the management of triglycerides, LDL cholesterol, total cholesterol, and HDL cholesterol. And this is a study of 34 different trials. And what they found was, and I'm reassured to see the results of this, because I eat a ton of pistachios. And how I eat them is I eat them in the shell. So that slows me down. So you know, when they're already shelled, the temptation is to eat more. But you got to work at it when you have pistachios that are in the shell. The pistachio-enriched diet was ranked best for triglyceride, LDL, and total cholesterol reduction. For total triglyceride and total cholesterol reduction, the walnut-enriched diet was ranked as the second best. As to LDL cholesterol reduction, the almond-enriched diet wasn't bad. It was ranked second best. The pistachio-enriched and walnut-enriched diets were more effective at lowering triglycerides, LDL cholesterol, and total cholesterol compared with a control diet. For triglyceride reduction, the walnut-enriched diet was better than the hazelnut-enriched diet. So the two types of nuts that emerged head and shoulders above the other nuts. Not that the other nuts are not beneficial, but for modifying your lipids, if you want to control your triglycerides and your LDL and total cholesterol, pistachios and walnuts were the diet champions in this trial, looking at different types of tree nut consumption on blood lipids. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
To find the Kyolic formula right for you, go to Kyolic.com. That's Kyolic.com.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And a lot of people these days are wearing trackers, okay? And aside from the concerns about confidentiality, because, you know, they're collecting data on you. And, you know, hopefully that data is anonymized, as they say, and held confidential. There's starting to know quite a lot about you, including your exercise habits, how many steps you're taking, and even how you sleep. And I was really surprised to learn about the prevalence of use of sleep trackers. I talked to some young people, and they use them because they want to quantitate everything that they do. You know, how far do they run? How many steps they took? They keep track of that using watches and devices, even their iPhones. So it is estimated that 10% of U.S. adults use a wearable fitness sleep tracking device on a regular basis, and 50% would consider purchasing one. Brands include Fitbit, Apple Watch, Nike Fuel Band, Jawbone, etc. Part of the problem is that these things are not highly accurate. They tend to try and qualitate your sleep, because just merely, you know, you may spend 8 hours in bed, but if you're, you know, up and tossing and turning, or if you have sleep apnea, that's the quality of your sleep. The quality of your sleep is you don't have good sleep efficiency. But some of these apps purport to give you a readout on your sleep efficiency. So it becomes like a competitive thing, like, oh, I've got like 98% sleep efficiency. Oh, I've got, hey, that's nothing. I got 99.9 sleep. Well, nobody really has such high levels of sleep efficiency. We all have times where we're restless and, you know, moving around. But you get the idea. It's become sort of like a competitive thing. Really, if you want to find out about your sleep, you need a professional polysomnography. You need to go to a sleep lab, because there they attach electrodes to you. They track your movements very carefully. These devices kind of give you a very crude facsimile of polysomnography. And if you really want to know what's going on in your brain, you need to have an EEG. You need to actually measure your brain waves, and that's not something that current devices do. That's pretty sophisticated. They've coined a new term, orthosomnia. Now, you've heard of the term orthorexia. Orthorexia means an obsession with eating correctly. It's kind of a good term, because, you know, with all the good health advice we purvey here on this program, some of you may become a little obsessive and, you know, worry about foods, worry about, you know, I had some carbs, or I had, you know, a little gluten, is this food organic? And that worry, that obsession can actually be deleterious to, at the very least, your mental health, perhaps having an impact on your physical health, because anxiety is not good for you. Cite the case as a case study of somebody with orthosomnia. They coined the term orthosomnia. Ortho means straight or correct, and somnia means sleep. It means someone who's preoccupied or concerned with improving or perfecting their wearable sleep data. The perfectionist's quest to achieve perfect sleep is similar to the unhealthy preoccupation with healthy eating termed orthorexia, they say in this review. They cite the case study of a 40-year-old male who was seeking treatment due to irritability, cognitive difficulties, and fatigue during the day. The patient said these symptoms would only occur on days he obtained less than 8 hours of sleep based on his sleep tracker record. It turned out the guy, actually, the sleep records were pretty good. But what had happened is he actually became hooked on feedback from his device to tell him if he could get a good night's sleep. And if he didn't, it made him anxious. It, you know, got him obsessed with the statistics. Ultimately, it was suggested that he undergo psychotherapy because of his elevated stress anxiety symptoms. So, it's a documented example of the deleterious effects of obsession with sleep tracking, which now has a name, orthosomnia. So don't develop orthosomnia because you're a competitive sleeper. Okay, so this item on cocoa is very interesting. You know, cocoa improves circulation and is said to have cardiovascular benefits. And if you have the dark kind and you don't have too much sugar, it may be beneficial for your cardiovascular health. Of course, if you have just, you know, Snickers bars, you know, that's just candy. It's got a little cocoa in it, but not that much. And milk chocolate, the milk, just as milk in tea interferes with the absorption of VGCG, the milk and other ingredients in candy can interfere with the uptake of cocoa. But kind of cool study. One of the most clear-cut types of circulatory problems is something called claudication, or PAD, peripheral arterial disease, where people get pain in their legs, particularly in their calves, when they walk because they have really poor circulation. So they did a small study of 44 peripheral artery disease patients over age 60. They gave him a beverage containing flavanol-rich cocoa 3 times a day for 6 months. And check this out. They were able to walk up to 42.6 meters further in a 6-minute walking test. Typically what happens to people with PAD is they can start walking, but they fatigue very easily, and then the pain overtakes them. They got to stop. You know, they could be walking down the street. They got to like lean on a mailbox and until the pain abates. 42.6 meters, it's about 150 feet further in a 6-minute walk. That's a considerable increase in their performance. The authors of the study comment few therapies are available for improving walking performance of people with PAD, and therefore the use of flavanol-rich cocoa, which contains 75 milligrams of epicatechin. You know, sounds a little like EGCG, epicatechin gallate. That polyphenol improved their walking distance. A very cool study. This item, green tea. We talked earlier about green tea. Green tea it's sometimes highlighted as something that could be harmful to the liver. But in this study, green tea reduced fatty liver disease in mice. Mice fed a high-fat diet for 16 weeks that consumed green tea extract were found to have just a quarter of the lipid deposits in their livers compared to those seen in the livers of a control group of mice. So this study suggests that green tea, at least in moderation, can be helpful for liver. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and thanks for joining us this hour. You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, and you can become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine by checking out our website at drhoffman.com, download our podcasts, subscribe to our newsletter, become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine, use all the resources available to you. Have a great weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine.